Hello, Open Arms Church. Hope you're all good. Roy Todd here, and trust you're doing okay in these weird times. Anyway, missing you guys loads, and a big lot of love to your pastors, Sean and Gillian. They are truly incredible people. When I look at what they've come through personally in their lives over the last lot of years, and the way that they just keep serving with resilience and faithfulness, and then, of course, now in a pandemic year as well, I got to tell you, I'm not sure I could do what they do. They are amazing people. I hope you know how blessed you are to have them as your pastors, and just to see the way they've navigated this season with a lot of grace and a lot of wisdom. Give it up for your pastors. And the comments, you might as well put an emoji or something in there, like hands raised or something like that as well. And I got to say hello to PJ and Liz as well. I remember coming to Newbridge, oh, I want to say maybe 20 years ago or something like that, preaching for PJ and Liz on a midweek night, and we had a fantastic evening. And then I just, the best part of it for me was hanging out with PJ and Liz afterwards. We just connected and love them so much. And it's great to know that they're still part of the church community and just there bringing their wisdom and their experience to the table. Trust you're all well. Of course, today is a St. Valentine's Day. So depending on circumstances, it could be a brilliant day for you. But for a lot of people, it's like anything but brilliant. And truth is, I guess it's probably a bit challenging for everybody in a global pandemic. So what I want to do today is talk to you on the theme of love. Surprise, surprise, on Valentine's Day. But I want to talk about real love. I want to say something about real love. I don't want to talk about fake love. I want to talk about real love. And I want to say some things about that. Here's a verse, 1 Corinthians 13:13. If you know the Bible, you'll know that 1 Corinthians 13 is this fantastic chapter that's all about love. Often you hear it read at weddings and things like that. And the final verse, this is the verse I'm reading to you, verse 13, says, "And now these three remain." And he mentions the three things: faith, hope, and love. And the last line is a bit of a giveaway. He says, "But the greatest of these is love." For some people, that's a bit of a shocking statement. You would have thought the greatest of these would be faith, or the greatest of these would be hope. But that's not what he says. He says the greatest of these three things is love. And the reason why he says that is because without love, none of the other two work. Faith doesn't work without love. And you can't really have hope without love as well. So I want to talk to you about real love. Let me tell you a little story. My wife and I like going to see a movie every now and then. Now, of course, it's a bit challenging in a pandemic year, but pre-pandemic, every now and then we'd go and see a movie. And I always would make the same mistake. Every time we went to see a movie, I'd make the same mistake. What was my mistake? I would always let her choose. Because the thing is, her choice of movies is like totally different to the kind of movies I like. She likes like lovey-dovey rom-coms and all that sort of thing. Whereas I like, I'm going to be honest with you, I'm not adverse to a flash and a bang and a few extras thrown in for good measure as well. That's my kind of movie. Brain numbing, no plot. I just want to see some action and that's it. Whereas my wife, she wants to feel the emotions and cry and laugh and rejoice when they get it together in the end and all that nonsense. And every time we'd go to see a movie, we would always walk out and she'd be like floating on her, and I would always be bewildered, because the point is that Hollywood's idea of love is like so counter to the Bible's idea of love. You know, Hollywood's idea of love is that they get it together and, you know, they sleep together and that's it. Whereas actually biblical love is much different than that, much more challenging than that as well. Now let's think about that word love. You see that word love there? In the English, it's a kind of a boring word, really bland, boring word. In the original Greek language of which the New Testament is written, actually that word love is much more powerful than the English translation, because there are actually a number of Greek words that define and express different levels of love. Here's one of them. You can see it on the screen. Philia. That's one word that expresses love in the Greek language. Philia simply means, literally translates, brotherly love. It's like a loving friendship. Two people who are so close that they're like, you would say they're loving friends. That's this kind of love. It's a loving friendship. Then there's another kind of love, storge love, and that conveys the idea of affection. Somebody achieves something really fantastic, and we're all really proud of them, and we would say we have loving affection for that person. It's a beautiful expression of love, but very much based on somebody's achievements. Somebody does something great, and we have a loving affection for that person. That's storge love. Then we have eros love, which is essentially physical intimacy, which I won't go into details too much here about, other than to say if you're married, it's brilliant, or it should be brilliant. Problem, I think, in society is that we get a wrong idea of what this is all about. It can become abusive, manipulative, and harmful. And actually, this is not the greatest expression of love. I want to tell you what the greatest expression of love is in the original Greek language of the Bible. It's not the word philia, and it's not the word storge, and it's not even eros. The greatest expression of love in the Greek language is this word agape. Agape. What does that mean? It simply means selfless, sacrificial love. It is love that gives, but with no strings attached. It's love that gives to the point of sacrifice. This is love that goes above and beyond, as we would say. That's agape. Greatest love of all. 1 Corinthians 13:13 then. Let's go back to that. Now, these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. Greatest of these is love. Greek word for love there is agape, selfless, sacrificial love. Let me give you another verse. Pretty sure you've heard this verse before. There's it there, John 3:16. You know it. I'm sure most of us know it. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Might as well finish quoting the verse. But look at this, for God so loved, Greek word for love, not philia, not storge, not eros, but the Greek word for love there is agape, the ultimate expression of love, greatest love of all, selfless, sacrificial love. For God so loved the world, sacrificial, selflessly loved the world, that he sent his only son. Of course, we know that Jesus died on the cross and he did it all for us. What was it that kept him on the cross? Wasn't the nails, No, it was his love for you and for me. And that is the ultimate expression of love. Agape. Take a look at that word, agape. That's the greatest love of all. Now, I want to explain why this is the greatest love of all, and then I want to look at how we can apply this in our own lives. This is going to get challenging, a little bit challenging here and there, but hey, we're all up for a challenge, especially on St. Valentine's Day, especially on a Sunday. Come on, let's embrace the challenge, and let's listen to what the Lord might be trying to say to us. Why is agape love the greatest love of all, and why do we need a revelation of this kind of love in this season? More than ever before? Well, let me give you some reasons. Number one, because this real love, agape love, it's generous. It's generous. It's really generous. Do you know that generosity is the hallmark of the greatest love of all? Let's go back to that verse, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, dot, dot, dot. What does the rest of the verse say? I bet you could quote it. I'm sure you can quote it. That he gave his only begotten son. That's what selfless, sacrificial agape does. Doesn't get, doesn't look to get, doesn't look to receive. This gives and gives. I remember my old church up in the north, and there was an old guy who used to pray. He was an uneducated man, and I used to love it when he prayed, because he spoke in sort of unconventional terms and prayed unconventional prayers, and kind of, you know, I love that. And he used to say when he prayed, Lord, you gave and gave and gave and gave until you could give no more. And sometimes when he prayed, he would just keep saying, gave and gave and gave over and over again until one of the pastors would come and say, can you finish the prayer off? Can you finish the prayer off? But he was expressing the point. He was making the point that God couldn't have given any more. That's agape. It's generous. So how does that challenge us? Well, what about how generous are you as a Christian? By the way, the real evidence of a spirit-filled life, the real evidence of a spirit-filled life, we often, as Pentecostals said, speaking in tongues. Now, I believe in speaking in tongues, and I believe that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I'm there, I teach that, I believe that. But do you know the real ongoing evidence of a spirit-filled life? It's not speaking in tongues, it's love. Fruit of the Spirit, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Number one on the fruit of the Spirit, love. Do you know what the Greek word for love is there? It's agape. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, etc., etc., etc. Number one is love, agape. That's the hallmark of somebody who's letting the Holy Spirit do his work in your life. Generous, 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 generous. Not mean, not tight, generous. I was thinking about this recently. I was thinking that it applies to money, and I'll talk about that in a moment, Gale warning. But I was thinking generosity, like we're in lockdown, so a lot of our interactions with each other now are on social media. And you know what I was thinking? I was thinking, and I asked myself this question, how generous am I on social media? Some people are really generous with their opinions, but it's the wrong kind of generosity. They're really generous with their judgments, but it's the wrong kind of generosity. Just spouting out everything they don't like. It doesn't build up anybody's faith. Doesn't do anybody any good. It's just there. It's the danger of social media. Just, it's on the tip of your fingers. You type anything you want because you can. Yeah, but the challenge is, number one, if every word that we speak will be judged, it's what Jesus said. In fact, he even said every idle word will be judged. So every idle tweet will be judged. Every idle Facebook post will be judged. But more to the point, the question for a born-again believer, spirit-filled believer is, yeah, but how is what I am writing here reflecting agape? When I write, type something on social media, is it reflecting selfless, sacrificial love? Is this selfless? Is this just me trying to make myself look good by trying to make other people look bad? Or am I actually trying to build people up and love on people and care for people and big up God and his people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? See, that's love. Real love's generous. Told you it was going to get challenging. But hey, we're up for that. It's generous. It's generous. God gave. That's the heart of generosity. The Irish missionary, the great Irish missionary, Amy Carmichael, she said, you can give without loving. She said, but you can't love without giving. I'll say that again. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And that's love. Agape love. I remember as a young minister, let's talk about generosity. Let's talk about finances. When I was a young guy, I launching out a ministry, I always sought to be generous. I always, always, always sought to be generous. And I would just seek, you know, I tithed as a bare minimum, and then I'd try to be generous. But then I hit this tough little season in my personal finances, and I got a bit fed up with God, to be honest with you. And you ever had a moan to God? You ever had a bit of a rant to the Almighty? It's all right. The psalmist did it. It's all right. You can do that as long as it's not all the time. And I had a bit of a rant to God. I said, God, I'm giving. I'm being faithful. But I don't have any money. I can hardly pay my bills. I'm living like a pauper here, and I'm just trying to be faithful and generous and kind. And I was having a bit of a pity party. That's the truth. Anyway, I had to go off to this pastor's meeting, and I'm in this pastor's meeting. And honestly, if I'm honest with you, I'll have to say it was the most boring meeting I've ever been in my whole life. They can be awful boring. And I was sitting there, and I was bored out of my mind. I couldn't wait for the halftime, you know, coffee break. And I went over to get myself a cup of coffee in the halftime break. And this pastor came over to speak to me. I didn't know who this guy was. And I knew him from a distance. He was a kind of an unconventional pastor, a bit of an old rocker, actually, a bit of a rebel. And of course, being Irish, I liked them. And this guy came over to me and he said, how are you going? How's it doing? How are you doing? And of course I said, I give him the typical Christian response. And I said, oh, praise God. You know, you covered all with spiritual language. Praise God, I'm good. Glory to God, I'm fantastic. Because that's how they taught me to speak. And then the guy looked at me straight in the eye and he said, how are you doing? And I said, absolutely rubbish. Life is not going good. I'm not very happy at God. I'm trying to be faithful with my finances and I don't have any money left. And I thought God would take care of me and he's not taking care of me. And I'm not happy about this at all. And the guy said, yeah. He said, me and my wife were praying for you last night. And the Lord put you on our hearts. He said, and here's a little gift for you. And he put an envelope in my hand. And when I received that envelope, I was desperate to open it. But I couldn't do that because you can't open an envelope in church. Every pastor will know what I'm talking about. So you know what I did? I went straight to the toilet. And I opened the toilet door and didn't use the bathroom, not for that purpose, but I used it for the purpose of opening the envelope. And I opened it as quick as I could. Do you know there was a check in that envelope for £1,000? And that, for me at that time, that was like £1,000,000. And it was like God saying, listen, you keep being faithful and you keep being generous. And watch how I am going to take care of you. This is called biblical economics. Generosity is the value of God's kingdom. And I want to encourage you today, develop agape love. What does it look like? It's generous. It's generous. Here's number two. Here's the second thing. Challenging. Gale warning. This gets challenging. Number two, real love, agape love. Remember, this is the kind of love we're talking about. Agape, selfless. Sacrificial love. Well, number two, this kind of love, agape love, it's forgiving. In fact, I'm going to go even further than that, and I'm going to say that it is quick to forgive. If you read that 1 Corinthians passage, and I would encourage you to do that in your own time, he goes on to say, love protects, love covers over a multitude of sins. That's what love does. It forgives. And that's the kind of love that God wants us to have in our hearts. It's quick to forgive, quick to forgive. I think the Lord had to really teach me about this very early on in my own ministry. I think that's the danger. Sometimes when you put a few years on the clock and you go through life, I think I get it now why some folks who are a little bit on in years become a bit cynical. I think I get it. I hope I'm not quite there yet, but I think I get it. Because you've had so many knocks and so many disappointments and, you know, as people said, they'd do a lot of things and they never did them and all the rest of it. But I thank God for something that happened to me very early on in my ministry. Young guy, full of enthusiasm, full of passion, loved Jesus with all my heart, pure, innocent, and I was. I just loved God. Never did it for the money, just loved God because, well, there was no money in it, that's for sure. I just did it because I just loved God. And then I remember an older minister came to me one day and he said something to me that was so unwise. As an older minister, spoke in sarcastic terms, but he meant every word of what he said. And he said, Todd, he said, you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You're a nobody and you'll never make it. And you know how it is when somebody says something really hurtful. First thing you do is you try to say to yourself, I can handle this. I can handle this. I can deal with this. And then the more you think about it, the more you think, here's what I should have done. And it begins with, I should have come back to him and said this and said that and said the other thing. And then when you think about it too much, you're thinking, I should have punched his lights out and I should have kicked him around the room. You know, you think all these things. I'm just saying what a lot of people think, right? And I got so mad at this guy. And the more I thought about what he said, you know, I think what he did was he said something and it, like, there must have been something raw. It was like opening a wound and he was putting salt in it. So there was an insecurity in my own heart that he just said something that was just feeding that insecurity. And I got hurt and I wasn't forgiving him. I wasn't letting go. And my ministry became focused on proving this guy wrong. I'm going to prove him wrong, right? Well, a few months later, I got an invite to go to preach in America. I had never been to America before, but my hosts, they said to me, listen, you get your flights, you cover your own flights to get out here. There's a whole bunch of churches we'll get you preaching at, but you cover your own costs and we'll take care of you when you're here. fantastic. I said, thank you, Lord. This is amazing. And then a couple of days later, I got a little windfall through the post of a couple of hundred quid. And I thought, this is absolutely amazing. This is going to cover the cost for my flights, which were about that for a return flight to America way back, you know, this is 20, 25 years ago. I thought, this is brilliant. And then suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me in my heart and said to me, do you remember that guy, that older minister who said those words to you a few months back? And I said, yes, I do, Lord. And I said, and I hope that you've convicted him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, because what he said was so badly out of order. And the Holy Spirit said to me in my heart, he said, I want you to give him half of that windfall that you've just received. Half of it. Well, I tried to reason with the Almighty, which is always a futile attempt. I said, two things, Lord. Number one, I need this money to get my flights. Number two, even if I didn't, I wouldn't want to give it to him. He hurt me. He really hurt me. And then I realized what the Holy Spirit was challenging me to do. It wasn't about the money. It was about releasing bitterness and making room for blessing. So I wrote the guy a little letter, and I put a little check in the letter, you know, and when I wrote the letter, I did it in all the Christian terms, you know, dear so-and-so, I love you. You know, you say all these things and God bless you. Da, 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 da. Boom. Never got a response. 100 quid. Never got a response. Never did get a response. But that's okay, because it's more blessed to give than what it is to receive. A couple of days later, as I was just about to cancel my trip to America, because I didn't have a penny and I was never going to get into debt for anybody, never took out loans. Bit of a, you know, that was a principle that I always tried to live by. About to cancel my trip, and suddenly one day, letter comes through my own door. I open it up. Inside, there's an envelope, and inside there's a letter saying, "Roy, we were praying." This is a church that have always loved and supported me. Lord, Roy, we were praying for the other day. The Lord just put you on our hearts, and He said to us that we've got to take care of you. And so here's a little gift. And inside there was a check, another check, believe it or not, for 1,000 quid. I'm talking about a lot of checks for 1,000 quid here. And it was like God said, I'll take care of you. If you had held, it was like the Lord said to me, you can either hold on to what you had in your hand, or you can have what I have in mine. Do you know what agape love does? And this is where it gets challenging. It lets go. It lets go of stuff. Lets go of bitterness. It says, Lord, I need you to work your healing grace in my life so that I can let go of this hurt, so that I can let go of this bitterness. This is real love. This is not just the emotional love that you feel in the moment. This is love that goes above and beyond. This is love that even embraces discomfort so that you can be faithful to what God's called you to be. I could go on here. I could go on and say so many things. I got a whole bunch more things that I wish I had more time to talk to you about. Let me go through a few more things to get your mind moving a little bit. You can think about these in your own time. Number three, real love is dependable. Real love is dependable. Or another word I could use is faithful. It's faithful. Sticks with it. Says, listen, you're not getting rid of me. I'm here. And that's it. And I'm going to stick with you all the way. That's real love. It's dependable. I so thank God for the people in my life who are just faithful. Good times, bad times, when everybody's for me, when everybody's against me, there are people in my life who I am so grateful for their dependability, for their faithfulness. And, you know, I think that that's the way that God wants it to be for all of us. This is agape love. The other types of love, they can be quite fickle. You know, friendship love can be quite fickle. It can be like really passionate one day and then off the next. Agape love is not like that. It's not fickle. It's not like, you know, falling in love one minute and then falling out of love the next. No, no, no. This is love that sticks with it. It says, I love you and I'm going to stick with you and I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to keep believing. Here's another one. Real love. This agape love, it brings healing. It brings healing. You know, when you carry real love in your heart, it brings healing into situations. I pray that for myself and I pray that for you. There's a lot of hurt going around at the moment, and I guess that this COVID situation has not helped. A lot of hurt, a lot of people hurt, a lot of hurting people. But you know what's going to bring healing? It's not going to be our complex theological revelations. you know, not that I'm dissing those, because we need revelation from the Holy Spirit, but I tell you what, we need a real revelation of love in this season. You can get all your theology right, but if you don't have a heart of love, what's the point? What's the point? And real love brings healing. It covers over a multitude of sins, casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. It banishes fear from the atmosphere. Fear is what feeds suspicion. And suspicion is what agitates wounds in people's hearts. And you get mental wounds and wounds of the emotions and even physical hurt as well. But this kind of love, agape love, it brings healing. It brings healing. And that's the kind of love that God wants you and I to carry. Number five, it's truthful. It's truthful. Love rejoices in the truth, it tells us in 1 Corinthians 13. It's full of integrity. It's honest. It's vulnerable. It's real. Listen, one of the things that I discovered about my ministry a long time ago is that I could sit here and I could try to make myself out to be something brilliant, but I've decided not to put that pressure on myself because A, I am really not that brilliant, and B, people are really smart and they can see through that, especially the Irish. And so I made a decision. I'm just going to be real, flaws and all, just going to get real. That's why I'm talking to you from my heart today, just to be real. I think that's what real love's all about. It's real. It's truthful. It's honest. If you're struggling, come on, stop trying to put on an act. Tell somebody. Talk to somebody. Struggling with your thought life? Stop trying to cover it up. Stop it. Be honest about it. Because love, agape love, is selfless and sacrificial. It'll go to somebody and say, come on, I'm having a struggle here and I want to make myself accountable for that. Do you know, that takes real love to do that. That's this kind of love. Agape, selfless, sacrificial. Finally, number six, real love, agape love, selfless. It's selfless, not self-seeking, but it's selfless. It loves God. I'll tell you one quick story that I'm done. We planted the Junction Church 10 years ago. And when we first pioneered the Junction Church, I went from having a preaching ministry all over America, all over Ireland, all over the UK, all over Europe. And then I became a humble pastor. It was like punishment from the Almighty for my years of the good life. And I remember that first year of pioneering a church, I had the proverbial stuffing knocked out of me. If I had any ego at the start of the year, I think the Lord had well and truly dealt with it by the end of that first year of pioneering the church. And I remember we got to the end of that first year. And of course, when you pioneer a church, you have dreams and visions. And my dream was, come on, we want to build a great church, thousands of people reaching the masses, making a difference. Well, by the end of our year, we started when we pioneered the Junction Church. The first year we had about 15 people. And by the end of the first year, we grew. Problem is, it was in the wrong direction. We ended up with about 10 or 12. And all I can say is that these people, you know, they put the fun into dysfunctional. It was a lot of fun, believe me. It was a lot of fun. And we got to the end of the year and I was tired. This was the first year of pioneering the Junction Church. I was tired, weary. And I had to have a little conversation with the Lord. And the Lord said, well, you're going to keep serving me? And I said to the Lord, well, I don't have any choice. I'm in this for the long haul. And it was like God said, I want you to love my people. If you love me, feed my sheep. So I made a decision. I remember having a chat with Lydia and I said, listen, darling, you know what? It might be that this church is only ever a small church of 20 people in it. And it might be our destiny to be pastors of a church of 20 people. And if it is to be that, so be it. But we will work our hardest to love on those 20 people and to give them our best. And even if it's 20 people, we'll make them 20 giants in the faith. Well, the Lord's blessed our church, and there's many, many more than that in our church community today, many more than that. The Lord's blessed us, and we've got campuses in Loughborough and in the city of Leicester and in the city of Nottingham, and we're thinking of other places we can go to as well. But the heart still hasn't changed. We do it because we love people. And I know that's how your pastors work. They wouldn't do it for any other reason. They love you. That's why they stick with you. That's why PJ and Liz did it, and Sean and Bridget. That's why they planted that church all those years ago, because they just loved people. This is the kind of love that God wants us to have, agape love. On this Valentine's Day, there's a challenge for all of us to take up. How is the love of God being reflected through my life? What's it look like on my social media? What's it look like in terms of how I handle my finances? What's it look like in terms of my faithfulness? What's it look like in terms of how I operate in integrity? There's a whole list of questions, and you can think about these for yourself. I know you'll give them more thought, even in life groups this week. Listen, I just want you to know, love you with all my heart. That's why I'm talking to you like this today. Love everything that God's doing at Open Arms Church. And I'm going to pray for you now, and then I'm going to hand it over. But I'm going to pray for you right now that we will get a revelation of this love, agape love, real love, real deal love. Maybe get a revelation of it in our lives. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for everyone who's had an ear to hear your word. And I pray right now that we'll open our hearts and receive what you've been trying to say to us. And I pray today that Open Arms Church will be renowned as being a church that's full of agape love, generous and forgiving and dependable, a place of healing, a place of honesty and vulnerability, a place of selflessness where people are planted in the house, living for a cause that's bigger than themselves, serving the purpose of God in our generation and handing it on one day to a new generation who will take it on to the next level. I pray that this word will just resonate in people's hearts today and that we'll become everything that you've called us to be. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Love you guys so much. And I really, really hope to see you someday soon. God bless you.